Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Earners, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need, without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/EarnYourLeisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/EarnYourLeisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now.
All right, guys. Welcome back. Another exciting episode. This is International Edition. I think so. We're crossing the border.
The northern border.
Yeah, it took Corona to cross the border. It took Corona to cross the border. So, you know, we have a very large listenership in Canada. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Toronto. That's like our main hub. But we also have a lot of listeners in all over Canada, mm-hmm. but Montreal specifically.
Yeah.
In Montreal. So if you're familiar with Canada, there's the English side, the French side. So the French province is Quebec. And they speak French and they speak English. Mm-hmm. It was an interesting experience when we went there because
it's a good road trip.
Yeah, everybody speaks French. Like it's like it's the same country as Toronto, but it's really different culturally. It's more mirrored around France's culture where Toronto isn't. I say that to say Canada is a very interesting place. We love Canada. It's one of our favorite places in the world.
Big up on ourselves.
So this was something that was long overdue to have our first Canadian guest. So without further ado, oh, and also, I have to big up Haiti as well because we also have a very large listenership in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
We've been on the top charts in like all the Caribbean countries. I'm not sure where we placed in Haiti, But I know Jamaica, Trinidad, Barbados, you name it, Bahamas. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure we got a lot of support in Haiti as well.
St. Lucia,
for sure. So shout out to the Haitian massive Sapase.
Yeah, Naboulé.
Yes, yes, yes. To all of the Haitians all over the diaspora and all over the world. And so our guests today are both Haitian and Canadian. Mm-hmm. So they fit both of those pockets. Yeah. Our first international guest. So Stephen Charles and Miriam Jean Baptiste, a couple out of Montreal, Canada, and they have a liquor brand.
Yeah.
So the liquor brand is interesting. The liquor industry is interesting. It's a multi-billion dollar industry that we haven't really covered. Shout out to Nick Storm. He covered it from like the marketing aspect as far as Ciroc is concerned. But we haven't spoke to anybody that had their own liquor brand.
Owns their own liquor.
Yeah, yeah. It's not easy to own a liquor brand. That's what he said.
Not easy to own anything but a liquor.
But especially a liquor brand as well. So LS Cream.
Liqueur.
Yeah, exactly. LS Cream. LS Cream.
LS Cream. LS Cream.
Yeah.
Liqueur. Is the name of the brand. And the liquor is Cremas.
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 We got it.
And yeah, so it's a milky, like
it's like a holiday drink that is, and yours is filled with nutmeg, which makes it very unique. So like each island in the West Indies has its own holiday drink. Coquito is big in Hispanic and Latino communities.
Shout out to PR, shout out to DR.
Shout out to all my Jamaicans. We just like to do rum punch, to be honest with you. But but it's similar in that category of a creamy type liqueur.
Yes, yeah. So first of all, thank you guys for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you guys. Thank you so much. Congratulations on all the success. It's amazing to see you guys grow.
No, I appreciate it. Appreciate it. So, all right, let's get into it. So, all right, you guys have a liquor brand and you're distributing it in the United States and Canada. So where does it start? Because this is an interesting story, because even when we had Chef Calvin on, shout out to Chef Calvin, and he has a Coquille, and he's Dominican. So I was saying that, you know, a lot of times, especially people from the islands, like Troy, he's Jamaican. So I go over his house all the time. And during the holiday, his mom makes rum punch. And it's very common for people to make, you know, liquors in their house, their grandmother, their mother, their aunts. That's like a very common thing, like I said, especially among people from the islands. But you don't really see it turn into a business a lot of times. It's just like a family thing, holidays, stuff like that. And you see like Bacardi and all of these brands
blowing up,
and they just control the market. Mm-hmm. So how did you guys get into the spirits industry from a manufacturing standpoint?
Well, it's a funny story, right? So before that, I was in finance, right? I was a mortgage specialist. And basically, exactly as you said, one holiday a few years ago, basically, I saw my in-laws. Basically, I was at my in-laws, and I saw them give a bottle of Cremas. Like, I saw a bottle of Cremas, and I saw something special about it, because I thought to myself, this product is so good. And, you know, over here, we got a lot of different cultures, right? So we have a lot of white people, Jamaicans, Caucasians, and whatever, so forth, right? So, and all those people would like that homemade Cremas, right? But they would always need to have somebody make it for them. They could not purchase it at the store. And we grew up with this recipe, me and Miriam, and we were like, well, maybe it would be time to have this delicious recipe be available on the shelf. And that's basically where you start to do your research and get into it, basically.
So,
and I think that,
oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Miriam.
No, I was just saying that it's really the fact, I think what really sparked our eyes was the fact that it was not only those requests were not only coming from like our Haitian friends or Caribbean friends, like our Italian friends were like, please, yo, ask your mom to do a bottle for me. Please ask your grandma to do a bottle for me. So there was definitely a niche there that there was a gap that we needed to fill. So,
yeah, I think also when it comes into like going to that market, first thing we looked at was the cream category was pretty dormant when you think about it. So if you ask anybody in the street, name me a cream liquor or a cream brand, they're gonna say Bailey's, right? You know, so that's basically what they're gonna say. And basically that's because, but if you ask that for a vodka or gin or whatever else, there's a lot of newcomers in that in those categories. So we saw an opportunity to have a cream that would take the taste of Cremasse, but would use the culture to attract more people, basically, and have our own cream, the same way we have our vodka and our rums, and that identify to us. Because I saw a lot of men that like cream, but they say, oh yeah, cream's a little bit girly, because when I go to the store and buy Bailey's, I don't feel right, you know? But when you have a bottle like this, now a guy can go to the liquor store and be proud to take it and buy it, you know?
So I want to go back to how we get the recipe for the Cremasse, because it, like in most West Indian families, recipes don't get, they get held on to for a while, right? Like my mom has this famous jerk chicken recipe that she refuses to pass on. Hopefully I'll find it one day and I'll be able to share it with my family. But I know your aunt actually found the recipe Ziploc somewhere in the house. You want to tell us about this story, man?
So basically, when we started the journey, you realize that the recipe that you've seen your mom and your grandma do, you think nothing of it. But when you actually list all the ingredients, you know, like we wanted to see it being made from the ground up. So I asked my aunt to come to my house and basically show to me and Miriam like how she would do it. Oh man, we were not disappointed. Like she brought in all the ingredients and she took out a Ziploc, and basically that Ziploc was a piece of paper written, that my grandmother wrote the recipe in, right? And they were passing that recipe from all my aunts, like in the family, basically, you know? And it was just funny to see that Ziploc with the end writing on there. It was just like, and she followed all the steps, and there you were 6 hours later with a bottle of Cremasse in your hands. That's actually the bottle we use to bring to the laboratory in the States that were able to put the recipe of Cremasse in a commercialized, you know, version of it, you know?
So, all right. So let me ask you this, because that's interesting what you said as far as like, yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, there's a lot of competition in tequila. There's a lot of competition in cognac. There's a lot of competition in vodka. But your niche, so what would it be called? Like what's the sector of that, what you guys are doing?
Yeah, it's actually cordials.
Cordials?
So cordials is going to be your Bailey's, your Grand Marnier. It's going to be your LS. It's going to be your Rum Chata. So that's pretty much what it's going to be.
Okay.
Those kind of drinks.
All right. So you saw the less crowded option, which is always a good bet, a good business strategy. Mm-hmm. You don't want to run into traffic. You know, it's less people mm-hmm. playing in that field. You have the family recipe from your family that's mm-hmm. making it. So now you have that, and you say, okay, but what's the step that you took to actually turn it into a business and say, okay, now we're gonna start making liquor? Like, do you need like a factory for that? Like, how does that work? Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of contracting distillers, right? So what happens is that you become a partner with a distiller, and you have the recipe. So basically, you create the recipe, and then you can go see a distiller, and they can basically bottle it for you, right? So you become a partner with that distiller, because as you may know or not, it's not everybody that has the right to have a distillery or be a distributor for that fact. Right. So there's a lot of laws that, you know, there's some kind of gatekeepers in a sense. Right. You know, so even if you have the money, you still need the proper paperwork and they might not even give it to you. You know, so some people in New Jersey know a lot about that where, you know, not everybody can have the license to have a liquor store and stuff like that. So it's still liquor. Right. It's still controlled. Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah. So basically what I mean is that when you think about it, some companies, they don't necessarily produce, like, for example, like a company that's based out of Belgium, for example, and make cream. They're not necessarily gonna make the cream in Belgium and ship it over here. They're gonna take the recipe, mandate a company here, and do the same recipe here. That way, for the transport and for everything, it might be less expensive.
So do you have to trademark the recipe?
Yeah, so that's a decision that we took not to do it. It's simple because it's the same thing as Pepsi and Coke, right? So their recipe is their recipe, and basically you can always, you know, put a little bit more sugar, a little bit more salt, a bit more this, a bit more that, and you can copy that recipe fairly easily. What we did, however, we did trademark the logo and the bottle. So LS Cream recipe can only be sold in that specific bottle.
Okay.
So, all right. So, like, rum punch and stuff is made with other liquor, right? Are you making liquor with other liquor, or are you actually manufacturing liquor from, like, out of nowhere? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So, yeah. So, basically, yeah, we purchase the liquor and the alcohol in bulk, right? So, and then we're able to ship it to our partners that help us with the cream. And then we mix everything together based on the recipe. And then we ship it to the bottling factory. And then they're able to bottle.
Okay.
So you got the distiller and the bottling factory. What type of cost are we talking for somebody who would be trying to start that?
Okay. So, I mean, if you're starting, you need at least $150,000.
Okay. You said earlier
that it was really hard to get into the liquor business. It's crazy how many barriers that we have to, like, open doors and, you know, force ourselves in. And we do understand why people don't necessarily go in that type of industry, because first of all, it requires capital, right? Steve and I were not necessarily, like, from that industry, so we had to do a lot of research on our side. We had to learn the process, and let me tell you guys that it wasn't easy, you know, but we pulled through, tried to, you know, get as much information as possible. And, you know, we were able to just go on step by step and make a product that's actually sellable, you know.
And the only thing I'm going to add, oh, sorry, Troy, you want to say something?
Yeah. You go ahead.
Okay, because it's because of the minimums, right? So your bottle order is going to have a minimum of a container, for example. Your cream maker is going to ask you for a minimum of whatever amount of gallons, right? And that makes basically the amount, you know, like at the end, be a high amount, basically. That's basically the reason why it costs so much. It's not because you have a lot of stuff to pay. It's because you have to pay four different entities a lot of money to be able to start, because they're not going to deal with you if you say, oh, yeah, I just want a bottle 10 cases, you know. You're like, okay, see you when you can do at least 1,000, you know, or like 2,000, you know.
So, okay, so like for rum punch, let's say, like, if somebody wants to start a rum punch brand, right, and they're making it out of like a variety of like other liquor, like they might put Hennessy in it, they might put whatever, right? So they put different liquors in it. So now you're buying those liquors at bulk, and Is there ever a possibility of going straight to the source and not actually buying other liquor, but like, so like where Hennessy gets their liquor from, like in France or something like that, right? Is that ever, obviously that's a lot more money, I'm assuming, but is that ever a possibility where it's like you can just buy alcohol without any label on it, without it coming from a company? Like, how is that a possibility or no?
Yeah, but I spoke too fast, or so. But just to be straight, the liquor I'm talking about that we buy, the alcohol that we buy, it's pure grain, neutral grain alcohol.
Okay.
So there's no label on there.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So that's the reason why a lot of distillers right now, because of the pandemic, they were able to turn their distillery into making hand sanitizers, right? Because the only difference between them and us is that they actually own the distillery, and they can turn basically the ingredients into making something else. But it's still neutral grain alcohol that has no label on it, and you can just purchase for fun, you know?
All right, I just have a question. Yeah. So you, all right, that's interesting. That's what I wanted to know. That was interesting. Thank you for that. So you can actually buy alcohol, whether it's whatever kind of alcohol it is, but it has no label on it, and you can just buy that in bulk.
Yep.
And it's factory, like, where do you do that at? Like, there's just warehouses that just sell alcohol?
Yeah, I mean, you have to do it through a third party, obviously. So for us, it's our cream maker that able to do that for us. It's like the plug, right? So basically, in this industry, that's the thing that you realize is that you need a plug, you know. So that's the first thing, you know, like, just to circle back to our story. That's the first thing that we did. Actually, I did, because, you know, we have a family and we need to be responsible. But I was able to leave for a couple of weeks And I went to one of the biggest convention in Vegas, right? Where all the industry is there. And I was able to squeeze my way in, because even if you're willing to pay top dollar, they're not going to let you in if somebody's not backing you.
What's the name of that? Yeah. What's the name of the convention?
That was actually where I was going next. Yeah, the Las Vegas Spirit Tasting, right?
What is it?
The biggest tasting conventions.
What's the name of it?
Wine Spirits.
WSWA. And that's actually where that convention, we went back, and that's actually where we made LS Cream enter competition in the cream category, and we won actually the gold medal in 2014. That was like the beginning of our traction for the brand and so forth, you know? But all of that, we wouldn't learn if we would have not went to that convention, you know, and seen the things that we've seen and you know, shake the hands that we shook, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead, Miriam. Yeah.
No, I was going to say, once we actually won that medal, so that's when people, like, because we didn't even have one bottle on the shelves for sale yet. So we entered the competition, won the gold medal, and then we started getting calls from the SEQ, which is like the government-owned, distributor in Quebec. So that's when they called us and they were like, okay, well, we need to have some of that product. We heard that you're making noise over in the States. So let's see how we could get you in. And, you know, the SEQ is one of the hardest distributors to get into. So that really gave us like the stamp of approval for other distribution.
Yeah.
So literally, like, those were my next two questions, the trip to Vegas and then the SAQ. Because, like, when I Googled SAQ, the first thing that came up was Saquon Barkley. I was like, yo, come on, man. Like, so really, the SAQ was like the Quebec Alcohol Corporation. Like, they run what can be put out in alcohol shelves.
Yeah. So for the people that know the verbiage, in the States, they call this a control state. Mm-hmm. So you guys have Pennsylvania, for example, that's a control state. So basically the state buys the liquor, they put it in the stores, and then you go ahead and go buy it, right? I think Virginia is like this too. And so that's why most liquor companies are going to start in Florida, for example, because Florida is pretty open. So anything you need is just money and time, and you'll be able to start selling your liquor with the proper paperwork in Florida. But other states.
Oh, can you explain that? Because I wasn't aware of that. So, in Pennsylvania,
I guess they're Commonwealth states, right? So you said Pennsylvania and Virginia.
So the state controls the liquor.
Yeah, exactly. There's 13 control states in the 50 states, and basically Pennsylvania is one of them. I think Virginia is one of them. And the reason I don't know them by heart is simply because like they're so hard to get into. We're focused on the ones that we're in. Which is New York, which is New Jersey, California, Florida, and you know, those states are fairly easy to make. That's where everybody starts, you know.
And I mean, it's the biggest markets also. So
yeah.
I mean, you want to start in New York and Florida and Cali. Yeah. So, but before you could put it on the shelves, I know you guys ran into some issues with stabilizing the recipe. Can you talk about what that process is like? Because I don't think I didn't even fully understand it until I read into it. You talk about the stabilizing and the importance of stabilizing a recipe? Yeah.
That's such a good question. Thank you for asking that. Yeah, indeed, people don't know the work it goes into making a product stable, especially when you're dealing with cream, dairy. So that's something that's really important for us, because we don't want anyone to drink LS cream and have issues, right? So, man, people don't need to worry, really, because everything that you see on the shelf in the States, in a liquor store or restaurant or whatever, is controlled by the federal government, right? So the entity is called the TTB. If you go on the TTB website, you will find all the information you need to be able to start legally a liquor in the United States, okay? And basically what happens is that, first of all, let me circle back to the story. Remember, we told you that we had that bottle of Cremant that my aunt did, right? So we took that bottle to the laboratory. So what they're going to do is that they're going to take that full-blown recipe and they're going to separate it to know how they can put it back together, but in a more, you know, professional way or commercialized way, right?
And also separate all the ingredients
right. And
the percentage so that every single bottle is the same, right?
Once they're able to do that, they basically come to you and they're like, Stevens, we can make that recipe. We can make the liquid blue. We can make it red. We can make it yellow, whatever color you want, and so forth, right? But again, the thing that's really good right now with LS Cream is that we decided to go the route of everything needs to be natural, right? With that, we were able to make a kosher product and a gluten-free product also, which was really important to us, right? So once that's done, our partners at the creamery were able to send it to the government under a specific label for this project. And then the TTB takes 6 months to come back to us with a formula approval. Once you have the formula approval, you're able to bottle. But you need to also submit a label approval. That's going to take another 6 months. So that's where, like, everything that you see that, you know, when you hear about the government shutdown, that's where it affects people like us, because they're the government that approves those things. So we had a government shutdown in 2014, so we had to wait a little bit more to get our label approvals and so forth, right? So that's the entities that deal with that. And maybe that gives you a better idea of, like, the time frame and mm-hmm. the steps that needs to be done to be able to actually bottle.
And also on our side, like, it was really important for us to keep, you know, a traditional type of cremas. People know cremas as being a bit thicker than LS actually is. That's just because we can't have, like, a thick, you know, product inside a bottle, and then when you drink it, you have to, like, to tap the bottom of your glass so that it falls down. So there was a lot of back and forth also to make sure that, you know, the product was perfect, it was had the right consistency. So yeah, it's a lot of time that's you know, just going into back and forths with our partners.
Yeah, man, I heard that. You know, number one, like, when it's not stabilized, the liquor could go bad if it sits on the shelf past a long time. Okay. But the other thing you found a pleasant surprise, you guys, your original recipe only had about 4% alcohol. They said, nah, we got to uptick that thing, right?
Yeah, so basically, yeah, everybody that drinks cremas are like, oh my God, that thing is strong. It's really strong. Nah, man, it's just sugar, man. That's just a sugar rush, you know, that ferments with the alcohol. It gives you that aspect that it's really strong, but it's not really. So what we did with LS Cream, we elevated the alcohol content to 17%, so that we can be on par with the other products in the category. Mm-hmm. Sorry, and basically making LS Cream one of the strongest, you know, in the category, because, you know, we like our stuff strong, and we know how we are, but it's something really important. And also, I want to piggyback on what Miriam said. You know, the consistency of cremas is usually thick. But if you ask somebody, any Asian, you're like, oh, how do you drink your cremas? He's gonna say, oh, I put it on ice. You're gonna say, why? Because I want it to be a little bit more liquid, you know? So that's the first thing that people do. So actually doing a lot of market research and a lot of, you know, tastings and stuff like that with people with regular cremas before we had LS, that's what we realized. People wanted it to be a little bit more liquid because it wasn't fun to drink that way, so thick. And they wanted to. There was a lot of residues with the original recipe because of the sugar and the coconut and the condensed milk. So when you finish drinking, you look at your glass and you see all that residue on the side of your glass. It's not really appealing, right? So that's the things that we wanted to fix, you know, sort of in terms of making a cream liqueur inspired by cremas. That's how we different ourselves, you know.
No, that's dope. So that's a lot. That's a lot of information. So in the next segment, we're going to go into the day-to-day operations and actually, you know, the meat and potatoes of how you're running this operation. So, yeah. All right. So, yeah. So we're going to go into some meat and potatoes. But before we start, we got to salute the fact. First is Power Couple. I love to do episodes with couples. That's always
all our couple episodes do so well.
Yeah. So it's always inspiring for me to, you know, see couples. So salute to you guys. But then also you're in an industry, like every industry, where it's predominantly run by, you know, people that don't look like us, not black owned companies. There's not a lot of black owned spirits companies. There's a lot of black ambassadors for spirits companies and black endorsers of other spirits companies. But there's not a lot of black owned spirit companies. So how has that been as far as, you know, hurdles and things of that nature? I don't know how it is in Canada, but, you know, racism is everywhere, all over the world.
Yeah,
so
that's the pandemic that we're not talking about.
Yeah, that's never going to stop. So how has that been as far as your journey being a black-owned spirits brand?
I think that in Quebec here, we were really lucky to have, like, you know, the support of the Haitian community, the Caribbean community, and, you know, the multicultural community in general. So, I mean, yes, there were some hurdles, but I think that one thing that we want to, you know, have people take away from this conversation is really, like, we need to get educated, right? We need to, especially in the alcohol industry. We know how our community love their alcohol, right? Like, everyone loves to drink. But it's like, when you guys go to the liquor store next door, you know, make sure that you grab your bottle of wine. Make sure that you ask, like, is this, do you carry, let's say, the McBride Sisters, which is a Black-owned brand? Do you carry, you want some rosé? Do you carry La Fête Rosé, which is owned by, exactly, like, a Black CEO? This is a premium liquor, a premium wine. A premium rosé comes from Saint-Tropez. Like, this is really, like, very nice, you know, wine to drink. So people need to get educated. And every, after your work, I don't know, you want to unwind. Normally people go for Bailey's. Well, now you know that Ellis Cream is Black owned. So it's really, like, people need to get educated just to understand the impact that, you know, buying from Black owned companies will have on the community itself. So in general, that's really what we want you guys to take away in the audience. But at the same time, especially in the States, it was really important for us to penetrate that market so that we, you know, open the doors and have a table where everyone that looked like us could actually join and, you know, be part of the journey. So that's really a mission that we really think we really want to happen. And that's our mission, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
if I may.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I think it's funny because I love talking about this subject because the love has been real. You know, as you guys said, as we all said, starting a liquor business is not easy. And actually, because you have to please a lot of people. You have to please your distributor, you have to please the retailer, and you have to please the customer, right? So after you're able to make that sale into the store, you need to actually have people go in and buy in the product, right? So in Quebec is where we actually made a lot of sales. The reason is simple, is because the ACQ, they have 400 stores across Quebec, right? That are really beautiful stores, a lot of distribution. So we were able to have quantities go in there and sell out really fast, right? In different points across the whole province. So there was a lot of people, a lot of white people that bought Ellis Cream, a lot. Mm. Because in Quebec, me and Miriam were seen as this couple, a Quebec-based couple that started a liquor. You know, that's the whole prerogative, right? So people see that we're Black. So for white people, it's like, oh my God, this is so fun. This is the equivalency of what they want. People that assimilate, quote unquote, to their culture in a sense, you know? So they're gonna go ahead and support that. They're gonna be like, okay, this is the kind of Black people, quote unquote, that we like to support, sort of, you know, and such. In the States, it's a completely different, prerogative because over here, you guys are doing really well on the business aspect, you know. In Quebec, us were an anomaly, completely. Like, we're actually the only Black-owned brand in the SAQ right now.
The entire country.
In sense, like, you know, like, that's totally minority owned and so forth. Like, at least in the States, you can say there's a couple, you know?
But, yeah, there's also
a prerogative at the whole point.
There's also a lot more people in the States, too. So I don't know if we're doing that much better because it's like outside of, you know, shout out to Hov, 100% Black owned champagne with Ace of Spades, but he's a billionaire, you know, that's different.
Yeah.
But I don't know too many. You named a few people I wasn't aware of. Yeah, shout out to Kenny Burns.
Shout out to our boy Kenny Burns.
Shout out to Kenny
Uncle
Burns.
Lewis. That's a story that everyone needs to go and research because it's amazing. I mean, you know, what's her name? Fawn Weaver, sorry about that. Fawn Weaver, which is an amazing African-American women. She's like, I don't know, I don't even have words to
boss,
I respect her.
Boss.
Yeah,
boss.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
She's
shout
the
out
one
to
that actually revealed the story of Jack Daniels, the whiskey Jack Daniels. And she went on afterwards to open her own distillery. And now we have a Black-owned, fully Black-owned whiskey, you know? So that's the type of things that we need to do so that we have more people on our table.
So you got, I know y'all met in business school, right? And yeah, obviously you did the research into this. Were these the people that you were looking to as inspiration that, yo, I could, we could actually do this?
Mm-hmm. My inspiration was Jay-Z.
That's it. You don't say.
My inspiration was Jay-Z, like, at a young age. I mean, I had two major inspirations on my side, because I've been, Miriam is not going to say it because she does a lot for the business, but I'm basically the whirlwind in a life that just took it in. Yeah. But I've been on the business side since I was 6 years old. So like, I was doing comic books and selling them to the people in my class and stuff like that. But to be honest with you guys, like, listening to Tupac made me stay in school and, like, you know, just, and then listening to Jay-Z was more like, okay, this is what we need to do, right? You know, that the inspired to have an empire, but not, just have a business mind, you know.
Shout out to Hov, the blueprint for sure. But let me ask you this: as far as, so with the liquor, right, manufacturing it, how do you make this stuff? Because it's like, shout out to Chef Calvin, but he was making it in his, he still makes it manually.
Yeah,
but you guys,
in his kitchen.
You guys, I'm assuming, have an operation. So how's that? You got like a warehouse, you got workers, like what's the process of actually making the liquor?
Yeah. So the process is that once the cream leaves the facility, okay, it goes to the bottler. Okay. And then at the bottling factory, at the bottler, everything gets bottled, the caps. So you need to have the bottle, you need to have the caps, you need to put them together. You have to put the liquid inside and then put it together, right? We're fortunate because our bottle, LS Cream, is custom-made. I mean, it costs a little bit more to have a custom-made bottle, but our labeling, it's already printed on the bottle, right? So we don't need to apply labels. So that would be another endeavor, another step to do. But regardless of this, once everything is bottled and ready to ship, we actually ship to our warehouse. We have one warehouse in Miami, another one in New Jersey, and the other one in California. Now, when I say that we have a warehouse, it's not exactly that. You need to have an approved warehouse where you can share with other liquor brands, right? So one closest to you guys in New York is called Western Carriers. People that are interested into liquor can look into it. Western Carriers, I think, is the size of 15 football fields, okay? And it's completely huge. And inside this warehouse, you have a section that is also unbonded territory, which means that you actually have border patrol agents within that factory that protects product that are not tax paid yet, right? So it's a whole different image of what people think of the simple warehouse with the door that just closes. No, it's highly secured. A lot of companies use it. So you go in there, you have like maybe 1 million brands in there. And when we're there. So I remember the first time I went there, they took us in and we took a Jeep and we drove for like 15 minutes to get to our stuff.
So it's like a storage facility.
Yeah, exactly. It's a storage facility for alcohol.
So your bottles are getting put in cases. How many bottles in a case for y'all?
12.
12 bottles in a case. So after they leave that, now they're getting distributed to different retailers. And do you own the trucking? What is that process like? You financing it? What are we doing?
Yeah. So for the deliveries, it's pretty simple. You have to have so for example, for New York, we have a solicitor, right? You need to apply to have a solicitor, which needs to have a valid driving license from New York. So you're able to take your truck and you're able to go pick up merchandise and deliver it to retailers, right? We partnered with also a back office company that help us get all of that paperwork done legally, right? So it's sort of like our lawyer, or it's like a lawyer company, like, that helps us be able to get the legal paperwork. And we do that also for the same thing for Florida. That makes us able to take the product from the warehouse and deliver it to the retailers that are interested in the product.
So how many states are you in America?
So brick and mortar, we're in Florida. So if you're in Florida today, you can look on the website and you'll be able to find at least 50 stores where we sell the product at, because we just got into Total Wines, which is like a big brand over there, right? So that's one thing. But online, we're available in 33 states. So people in 33 states can order. So California, Illinois, New Jersey, Massachusetts, and so forth.
So most of the distribution is coming via online.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep, so that's exactly. That's one of the the points that we want to reach in 2020 is to have distribution to be able to exactly be able to just have one distributor that will himself go into the stores and put our product in, because by ourselves it's not the easiest thing, especially in New York.
So you said that you have brick and mortar, right? What's the difference between the on-premise and off-premise locations?
So on-premise is the restaurants and bars. Off-premise is going to be the retailers. So that's why, like, the articles that have been coming out because of the pandemic is going to be more in the sense that off-premise, I've seen a spike in sales because all the restaurants were closed, right? So that's what you're going to see. But also, I wanted to point out that sort of what we're talking about, that not a lot of people that look like us in this industry, distribution is a boys club, right? So right now, what's happening is that, give you an example. The best example I use is Massachusetts, okay? There's a big community of African-American in Boston, and specifically Asians in Boston, that want to have the product and would like to go into the store and get the product. Well, it doesn't matter what's the demand. There's three distributors in Massachusetts that have the right to distribute. And if they don't like LS Cream, we cannot sell in a brick and mortar over there. Right? And every state have their own laws specific to those distributors. Right? Other states, they have 100 distributors. Other states, they have one that are the control states. Mm-hmm. Right? So if people are wondering, oh, that's hard. Why can I not find a product in Texas? Well, it's the same thing. It's you need to go over there. You need to sell your product to the distributor, and they have the fate of your product in your hands. And some of them, they don't even care what your sales. Like, it's just a question of if they already have Bailey's, why bother?
And I mean, just to continue on that, it's the fact also that if we go into a state, let's say we wanted to be in public stores, okay, at the grocery store. Well, if we don't do business with a specific type of distributor, then they won't even look at us. So it's really like there's so many barriers that have to, we have to break them. We're not saying that we're not able to do that. I think it's just a lot of work. And again, we just need to have more people that look like us, that understand the culture, that understand that we're not necessarily trying to take the place of Bailey's, because I don't think that Bailey's caters necessarily to the demographic that we cater to.
And it's not the same taste. It's not the same taste at all.
And it's more like a multicultural demographics that we're targeting, right? So we need people, again, I keep on saying it because I really want to pass this message, but we need more people at the top levels of this distribution, of these type of distribution companies, so that we could have, we could be distributed and be in same stores as Bailey's or other type of stores.
So out of the 33 states that you're in, right, we won't include the 17 that you're not, which ones have had the toughest, I know you mentioned Virginia and Pennsylvania, which ones have had you've had some real issues getting, like, it would be tough for somebody who's trying to distribute in?
I mean, if you mean in brick and mortars again, like, Massachusetts is one of them. And after that, Georgia is one of them, because Georgia, you don't have the right to do tastings, right? So what's going to happen is that you're going to do a pitch to a distributor, but he's going to say, okay, but you need to invest this amount of dollars into the marketing, or else we're not going to take you. And then they're going to throw out an egregious number, out you that, they know that for a startup, it doesn't make any sense, So they're basically, even when they buy the product, they lowball you into, like, in a way, we have no support. And that's simple. It's simple as that. It's simple as that. So everything that you see is that some people are able to do it, but we want to create our own distribution, distribution, so that we don't need to rely on those people to like us to be able to take in our product. That's the end game.
Basically. So let me ask you this, because marketing is the key to any business success. So how do you guys market? Because especially with liquor, we've seen marketing, you know, through social media, but mainly what's really helped these brands has been artists, rappers,
and music,
and in America, yeah, and musicians have really pushed the needle. If you look at a brand like Ciroc, if you look at Hypnotic, and a lot of episodes that we've done, once again, shout out to Nick Storm, but Hennessy. Once artists start to champion these brands, even going back to Cristal Champagne, if anybody's not familiar with the Cristal Champagne situation, Cristal was a champagne brand for years before any rapper started to champion it, and it was like, you know, it was a decent sized company. But then when rest in peace Notorious B.I.G. mm-hmm. when he started rapping about Cristal and the gold bottles, and then Jay just kind of took it to the next level, and then every rapper in the late 90s, early 2000s, they had a Cristal bottle, and their business skyrocketed like 1,000% in a few years, and it was directly related to hip-hop. And then they asked the CEO of the company, you know, how he felt about rappers endorsing the products, and he's like, I never asked these people to endorse anything. He's like, I think that they should drink Dom Perignon, something like that.
Dom P.
He said, yeah, they should drink another champagne. Like, we don't really want that kind of image for our brand. So I say all that to say, you know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, we have a very large cultural influence, and a lot of times is used for the wrong company, for the wrong people. So what kind of marketing have you guys done, and have you used influencers, whether it's musicians or athletes? I saw you got a heavyweight, a boxer, there's a lot of boxers in Montreal.
Yeah.
Charles Pascal. Yeah. So yeah, what's your marketing? What's your marketing plan?
Yeah, exactly what you said. Influencers, linking up with artists. That's pretty much the goal. But again, I think we don't want to go too fast, because we could ink a huge artist right now. It's not gonna do us any good, because we're not everywhere yet. We want to be, so that people can actually turn around and go get the product. Right now, we're still in the phase where we're using social media platforms, social media ads, to let the people know about the product, and it's been working. Just because of COVID, we flipped around, focused on internet sales, and it works, you know? So people are buying the product, and that's a rare feat, because when you think about it, buying alcohol online, not everybody you know around you do that, right? So we've been able to sell a lot of bottles since the beginning of this pandemic, and people be responding greatly to it, you know, buying 2, 3, 4, even some people buying cases, you know? So that's something that's really for us focused on. And we're going to partner up with the right people when the time is right, because we want the leverage that distributor ingest of that artist, so that everything works together and we can have a proper quote unquote launch, you know?
And I think that's one of the main reasons why we know that there's something there with LS Cream. We've done most of the marketing was like from mouth to ear. Most of our first orders from the SEQ, and also like in New York, in the States, they were sold out, right? And that was with no big marketing campaigns. It was really like, okay, there's this young black couple, they're Haitian. I heard like the bottle is really nice. They're commercializing Cremas, what is it? Like, it was strictly from word of mouth. So we know that there's something there. That's what we keep on pushing. And like Steven said, I think that when the right partner will come in, that's when we're just gonna go ahead and reach for the stars.
Dope. So another question that I have is that it sounds like this costs a lot, like to manufacture it, and to have warehouses and distribute and all of that. So what's the profit margin? Because I'm assuming a bottle can't. How much is your bottle? How much?
So it's right now, it depends on the state, right? So if you go online, you'll be able to find it at between $17 to around $23. It depends on the state, right? Same thing as if you go into retail.
Yeah. So is it profit? Like, is it like thin profit margins in the liquor business?
No,
it sounds
actually good profits. So it's actually a big margin. So we're talking about around in between 40% to 65%.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
I just sound like a lot, because, well, that's a good profit margin, 40%, 50%, 60%. Yeah, I don't know. All right.
Yeah, I was going to say that the initial investment is a lot, right? But after that, if you keep at it, you can recoup pretty fast what you invested.
Are you finding it that the your target audience, like the West Indies, you're finding that the cities that have large populations of people from the West Indies, that's where your number one audiences are?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I think what we're doing with LS is that we're using the culture to we're piggybacking off the culture to present LS as a cool cream, as an alternative. So basically the proposition is if first proposition is if you used to drink cream liquor or cream liqueur, switch to LS cream, right? So that's our first proposition. So and then afterwards we're able to say, okay, we've won these medals, the product is gluten-free, kosher, of natural ingredients. Now we can go tackle other types of demographics, still using the culture as something like we're just using this to be different aspect, an alternative on the shelf. You know, that's how we got into Total Wines,
and it's good.
Yeah, what's the reaction like when y'all visit Haiti, or have you heard the feedback in Haiti when they hear like your story?
Well, I mean, I can say it. Because I was able to go. Okay, I'm gonna let.
Don't put me out.
I was able to go to Haiti because you know Haiti has been unstable for a couple of years, you know. But I went to for the first time in 2014 after we won the gold medal. So there was actually news outlets over there, newspapers and TV networks that wanted to interview me to talk about you know our success with the brand, right? So because it was the first time that they heard that somebody was making a professional version of Cremas, right? So it was really dope. So the reception over there was amazing. Like it was my first time going back to going to Haiti, and I went back two times after, and it was like, listen, people have no idea what they're missing if they've never been.
We got the stamp of approval, but at the same time, you know, the older generation, they're like, this is not Cremas as I know it. Like, it doesn't taste, you know, like your grandmother used to do it because of what we said for the process that we need to stabilize the recipe and all of that. So, but still, I think we got the stamp of approval from the community.
How is the situation in Haiti right now? I mean, yeah, we see so many things on the news, and it looks pretty discouraging, to be honest. So. Like, what's the, because there's a lot of Haitians that live in New York. There's a lot of Haitians that live in Miami. Shout out to my guy, Mike G. He's somebody I'm going to introduce you to. I'll talk to you about off camera. I just want to know what's going on out there.
I think Haiti is, you know, they're struggling over there, and I don't think it's easy. One thing after the other keeps on coming. We have the earthquake. We have
hurricanes.
The hurricanes that come in and out, and then COVID, right? So it's not going too well. I think every time that they're trying to get back on their feet, something else comes in. But that's why we want also to partner up with organizations such as we're starting conversations with Hope for Haiti, which is a big organization that does a lot of things in Haiti, so that we could also, you know, try to help contribute. And contribute to what's going on over there. So whether it is for mask or just give us support. So we're trying to figure out something with them to see how we could help.
All right. Yeah. Once again, salute to Haiti. So, all right. In the last segment, we're going to bring it home. We're going to talk about the scaling model moving forward. And I think we're going to do a tasting as well. So,
yeah.
Let's do it. All right. So we're going to start this segment off with a first time ever Earn Your Leisure situation. We're going to do a taste testing. Now, this is 100% organic. We have not tasted the product yet. They sent us a few bottles, but we didn't get a chance.
Still frozen. They thought
that's a fact. The bottle's frozen. You can see the bottle's frozen.
It was in my freezer.
Yeah, we have not got a chance to sample the product yet. So we're doing this direct. We're doing it straight online.
Yeah.
We're gonna do it. This is like I said, we did.
It's a first.
Yeah. Shout out to Al Harrington. We did his company. I don't smoke. So I didn't sample any.
He have the influence to sample.
I didn't sample any of his edibles. I don't smoke. I barely drank. I hope my parents aren't watching this.
I hope mine's off.
So, but you know, cheers, on occasion, on special occasions, I'll cheers. So,
cheers.
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 Cheers, salute, guys. Thank you again.
No, that's elite. That's elite.
I like
that. That's elite.
I like this.
Drink champs. This turned into drink champs.
Oh, we're about to get loose in here. Let's do it.
No, that's elite.
I like that.
No, I like that. That's a nice, it's like a coffee blend. Like,
yo,
it's dope.
My wife said we're gonna put that on our French toast tomorrow.
No, this a vibe.
She said don't finish. She said don't finish it all. I said all right.
Oh yeah, French toast. It's a vibe. I'm not gonna sit here and hold you. This a vibe. I liked it. I like it. So, talking about Canada. All right. So, are you guys more focused on growing the business in America, or are you more focused on growing the business in Canada, or is it a combination of both?
It's a combination of both, but Canada is 35 million people. United States is 350 million people. So, of course, like any logical businessman would say, like the U.S., I mean, we the goal was always to make it in the U.S., and that's what we're on the stride to do. Canada was just, I mean, Quebec specifically was just, you know, like some kind of a detour, if you may, because, again, liquor boards are really hard to get into. And we got really lucky because the buzz we were making in the States. So now this is a story, right? So a couple from Canada, from Montreal, that starts a liquor needs to start in the States because it's so hard to get in their own home, you know, to get in. Because over there, you talk about a boys club, it's basically media pressure that put the product on the shelf over here, right? So basically our goal was always the U.S., always, always, always. So, yeah.
But we're still grateful
100%,
to 100%. Have had the opportunity to have our products at home and on the shelves of BSAQ.
Yeah. Are we thinking about, I know the United States is obviously international for you guys, but what about, you know, across the pond? You know, there's a large West Indian population in the UK, specifically London.
Yeah.
Africa, that's a continent. You know, I think seeing something like this would be aspirational and could be beneficial. Yeah. Is that something you guys are looking forward to as well?
100%. France, UK, a lot of conversations, but we don't want to stretch ourselves too thin. So we have a couple of key milestones that we want to achieve in the States before we even consider shipping abroad. So in terms of logistics, we don't think that we're ready to do that unless something major would fall on our lap.
Distribution again.
But in terms of scaling the business properly, we think we need to achieve those milestones to be able to be able to target the UK and France.
So, okay. Are you guys, all right. So as far as the provinces, are you able to do business in, Toronto, which is Ontario?
The LCBO.
It's the same thing. So you know what? It was actually the ACQ and LCBO are pretty similar in the way they run their business. So it's a one strike, you're out kind of mentality over there. So we knew going to the ACQ, which is in Quebec, our home, that we were going to be a success, right? And we were right. So first order sold out, second order sold out, and so until right now where the product is in a large majority of the stores, and now we're just, people are buying, it's selling out, but they can reorder at the same time from their warehouse. LCBO, if we go in there and we're not able to, how can I say this, do the home run from the beginning, they're not going to reorder afterwards, you know? So we know that Ontario, they like a lot what's going on in the States. So we're making it a success in the States before going to Ontario. So the same way Ciroc did, right? So Ciroc made it a success here, and then they went to Ontario, and then boom.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you're interested, hopefully this time next year, everything will clear up. We have a pop-up shop in Carabana, EYL. EYL.
We were supposed to be there.
We'll have LS as the official liquor sponsor.
Absolutely.
And that'll be crazy. That'll be a whole vibe.
A lot of people are disappointed about Caribana being canceled this year, right?
Yeah. Oh, my heart is broken. Yeah. My heart is broken.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Don't worry, you guys. Like, we're happy that we can do business in Canada, because the fact that we're in the ACQ, there's ways for us to be able to send the liquor over there, even if it would not be on the shelf yet, for example. Mm-hmm. There's still ways to put it on the shelf 100%. Like, we could do tastings and stuff like that, even if... it's not in all the stores in the LCBO. We could have one store have it and stuff like that.
So each province has its own alcohol corporation. Like, so British Columbia, Nova Scotia, they all have their own. Yep. So you have to go through this process for each one.
Yep,
exactly.
And Vancouver too.
British Columbia.
That's British Columbia? Yep. Shout out to Vancouver. We got some love out of there too. So, all right. So this is interesting too, because how has business been during this pandemic? Because I was in Brooklyn, shout out to BK. That's our biggest market in the world.
Yeah.
Which also has a lot of Haitians in Brooklyn, a lot of West Indians. Everybody in Brooklyn is West Indian.
More Jamaicans in Brooklyn than actually Jamaica.
Yeah.
Big fat.
Yeah. Wow. Brooklyn is heavy. So when I was in Brooklyn, like right around the start of this, the lockdown, we in New York. So if you're not familiar, New York, we're still on lockdown. I don't know when this will come out, but we'll probably still be on lockdown. And it's like one of the strictest in the world. Because we have one of the worst, I think it is the worst in the world, as far as Corona is concerned. But only a few businesses are left open, which they deemed as essential businesses. Liquor stores have been left open.
We laughed at that. Yeah.
We're
like, yo, really?
Yeah, liquor stores have been left open at their essential businesses. And I went to the liquor store like right before that announcement was made, like early in March. And I was in the liquor store in Brooklyn. And the guy was saying that they did New Year's numbers for the last 2 days. Like, they was doing, like, the store usually does like $3,000 a day. They did $18,000. And he was saying that business was booming. So what I realized is that I guess the reason why they deemed these liquor stores essential is because people need some kind of outlet to, you know, to get away from like staying inside all day. So how has business been for you during this pandemic?
It's been great. So basically, we saw an influx of sales in all the stores in Florida and online. So basically, if you compare it to last year, like, it's a no-brainer. But I think it's just a question of people making reserves, right? So, because they don't know what's going to happen. They say, hey, if I get stuck home, I want my liquor with me. Mm-hmm. The same way they want their toilet paper. So, like...
You've been watching our news.
Exactly. Yeah. So, They really see it the same way. So it's gonna be liquor and toilet paper for them, and they're gonna be good.
I mean, like, there's a lot of people that are seeing this pandemic. You know, it's hard on everyone. It is still hard on us, even though we were able to pivot. But I mean, I think it's also a type of blessing. Okay, a type of blessing, just because we were able to like refocus, reshift, do a lot of PR, get in contact with people, things that we necessarily don't have time usually to do. So at the same time, yes, it's a hard time for all of us, but I think that we just have to change a bit our mindset and try to take out the positive out of all of that.
Yeah, one of the things that I read about and I admire is the fact that you guys are doing mentorship and internship programs, correct?
Yep.
Because it's not good enough that you make it. It's also good, you know, that you pave a way for somebody else to make it. And that was kind of where we were rooted in. We actually were founded in an internship program, having kids come and tell us about their future aspirations and then going out and finding it. You want to talk about the internship programs and mentorship programs that you guys are part of?
Yeah. So basically what we did is that we did an interview where we spoke about the internship. And basically what we wanted to do is that we're simply gathering people that sent us the resumes, basically, and we're based at well, it was a little bit prior to COVID, right? But we're still getting the resumes, and we're gonna contact them. We're gonna do basically interviews with them and see which one that fit the most. And some of them are gonna come on the boat basically with us, and they're gonna see the rise and grind of the liquor business, you know. And we just want to be models in the community over here in Montreal and be able to help people that are in need, because we have those emails and those DMs. We have them.
And I mean, like, we've been going to schools also, talking to the youth, you know, just sharing our story. So that's been a really good thing as well. So, yeah. And the thing is also, I just want to add, like, you know, it's, I think it's a business, again, that is really difficult to be into. And there was not necessarily any doors that were open for us. We're doing this, we're building this from the ground up. And I think that it's our responsibility after that we break all these doors, that after that we take on people, you know, under our wings and actually help them to go into that business. So it's really, we're doing it for generational wealth. We're doing it for the Black community. It's for the multicultural community, whoever. But I mean, it's something that's really, really important for us.
So let me ask you this, as far as like, we had a Vending Machine episode. And that's one of our biggest episodes. Yeah. Shout out to Kashif, good guy. And you know, I asked him, like, you know, with vending machines, it's like, I'm like, do you ever feel like you have a certain responsibility? Because like childhood obesity is crazy right now, and it's like, you know, you got a lot of sugar candy. And he was saying, like, you know, he tries to mix some healthy items in there. So I say that to say, liquor is legal, and everybody has a right to drink liquor. But also, obviously, you know, it has some a lot of negative side effects. If done too much, anything done in excess, yeah. It's yeah. gonna be harmful. Yeah. But you know, it's had some really negative side effects, especially in our community. So, do you have an initiative, or do you think it's up to you guys to, like, you know, kind of help people understand to, you know, drink responsibly, and to, you know, do you think about that at all, or?
Yeah, I mean, me personally, I think about it a lot. I think it's really important that also we realize that it's more of a question of, like you said, it is legal. But at the same time, we can just add to whatever's being done right now. And inside of our community, I mean, we know that we're not pushing ads to children. You know, we're not making the, you know, or making it accessible to people that are underage or so forth. I mean, that's where our partners also, you know, like, we know that if we partner with the SAQ, they're not going to sell to minors or so forth, right? You know, so we feel comfortable with that. And in terms of the initiative, of course, if we talk to school, we're going to talk about entrepreneurship. We're not going to talk about the joy of drinking liquor, you know. so it's
legal age is 18 in Quebec, right?
Huh?
I said legal age is 18 in Quebec, right?
Yeah, it is.
That's why we get a lot of Americans. they come down over here.
but I mean, it is something that we think about. But again, I mean, anything can be deemed, you know, problematic at some point. It's just like, maybe except water, I guess. But
I think moderation is the key. I think moderation is the key, and you have to, you know, understand that, you know, anything can be harmful if you do it too much and excessive.
In moderation,
so yeah, you know, just wanted to put that out there, because alcoholism is a real thing, and a lot of people suffer from alcoholism. So you know, it's one of these things where, like, you know, like I said, I drink. I'm not a heavy drinker, but I do enjoy it every once in a while. But I just think that, you know, as long as it's done tastefully, it's
drink
done classfully,
drink
responsibly.
That's the model.
Act accordingly.
That's our model.
That's a fact.
Really quick, I know you said that, you know, business is doing good. The online presence, was that something that you built post-corona, or had that been developed pre-corona, right? Because I know that's something that you're doing right now with a lot of the stores being closed. Well, not closed, but it changed with corona. Your online presence was already something that you had built?
So the online presence ramped up. No lie, 100%. I mean, I'm more in front of my screen than I was ever before, producing content for, you know, to help us, you know, expand our brand. So it's definitely 100%. It ramp up. So we had a good online presence before, but right now what we're doing, what we plan to do, like, but it's fun because even when things are going to open up more, we're still going to keep that same online presence. So like, COVID was like a blessing in disguise in multiple facets of the business.
Yeah, I know you got the podcast going.
There you go. You know you guys are coming at the podcast.
I saw y'all on the podcast. Let's do it.
Yeah, for sure. So,
and I mean, like, when we're talking about the stores, we mentioned that we just got into Total Wines, a few stores in Florida. The thing is, now since we're not able to cross the border, we're not able to do tastings, you know, so it's we had to find another way to put our bottles out. So even like with Total Wines now in Florida, you could directly order through Instacart. So that's a way that people could still get their bottles delivered right to their doorstep. And
yeah, Instacart is really cool. Like, we didn't even know about it before COVID. Like, COVID forced us to know about Instacart.
Yeah.
Like,
there's another thing, and I just found it when I was doing the research for you guys, was Spirit Network. It's actually, like I said, it's like a home shopping network for just the spirits industry. So what it does is, like, you're allowed to create content, almost like commercials or ads, that can be like 5 to 7 minutes, and it only goes on there, and people can literally shop from their TV to buy. So like, that's like it's a really creative way. Hopefully you guys can be on there, and hopefully the sales go up even further.
Yeah, Amazon's getting to the liquor industry as well, so that's something that's something to pay attention to. Amazon, and I didn't know about the delivery liquor service either until somebody introduced it to me during COVID-19. A friend of mine was telling me about it, and I'm like, oh, that's crazy. Like, I didn't know that they deliver liquor, but apparently
individual drinks too.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
So apparently it's
restaurants were doing that for a while.
So yeah, I tell people all the time, if you don't have a way to get money online, you don't really have a business. So this is a perfect example of that, where you can't just rely on the mom and pop liquor stores. And like you said, there's so much politics and stuff like that anyway, that is probably even harder. But before we wrap this up, I actually had a question about that. If you are in a mom and pop store, how did they buy that on consignment? Like those cases on consignment, or they just buy it? They just buy it?
I mean, every state have their own laws in terms of when they need to pay. Some states it's 10 days, other states it's 30 days, and same thing for distributors, right? So most distributors is going to be 30 days, but again, that's every state have their own rules about that. You know, it's really complicated. Every state, like for example, like Vegas, it's hyper complicated when you want to ship liquor over there. So just do the test. Go to your postal office, your local postal office. Have a bottle of liquor and tell them to ship it to another state. See what happens.
That's a fact. Guys,
well, we got ours.
It's been a pleasure. We got to come up there for the Formula One race.
Woo.
I've been wanting to do that for a long time. That's a vibe.
2021, guys.
Formula One race. So yeah, we got to do something together in Canada. But before we wrap this up, How can the people contact you? How can they purchase LS, social media, all that information?
Okay, well, first of all, they can go on the website, creamls.com. So creamls.com. You have all the story there, all the links to buy. You can choose your state. You can choose your city, like in terms of to find a store like in Florida. So that's the first thing. Also on social media, on Instagram, LS Cream Liqueur. So it's like a French twist on it. But if you write LS Cream, you'll be able to find it on Instagram. We're also on Facebook and Twitter with the same handles. That's pretty much the gist of it, I guess.
Yep.
Troy, housekeeping item?
Yeah, shout out to this LS Cream, though. This is really good. Everybody on Patreon.com, thank you for supporting us for the duration of Earn Your Leisure, man. Our patrons have been amazing. We got a new patron at tier 5, Narik. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. She joined at tier 5, so we're happy to have you. Obviously, you know that being a tier 4 or 5 member on Patreon gives you access to EYL University, our online school, the number one online school for business and entrepreneurship. And we have our private Facebook real estate group in there too that has been going crazy. Shout out to everybody that's been part of our book club and our movie club. That has been going crazy. The community has literally taken over our book club. So that is, as a teacher, man, there's no better reward than having the class actually facilitate the lesson. So that is amazing. And everybody that's been supporting our merch on earnleisure.com, we really appreciate it. We got some new stuff out. We recently just trademarked some things, so be on the lookout.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, shout out to EYLUniversity.com. It's one of the dopest platforms, the dopest platform for educational learning. And shout out to all of our listeners, once again, all over the world. This is something that we're going to do a lot of. We're going to have interviews with people in Europe, in Africa, in Asia, Canada, South America, all of that.
We had it there. We had it to these places.
Oh, we're going to physically go there too. Once this COVID situation is up, we definitely going to be in Canada. That's a fact.
You know who we can shout out? Shout out to everybody on YouTube. Our YouTube support has been crazy. We went over 80,000 subscribers. And everybody that's been tuning into our YouTube show, Market Mondays.
Yeah. Shout out to everybody. Yo, and check out Market Mondays. That's our latest stock. That's our new stock show on YouTube, exclusively on YouTube. So yeah, thank you guys for rocking with us. We appreciate it.
We'll see you. We appreciate it, seriously.
Yeah. Thanks everybody for listening. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.